Praise God. That song had a lot of saying in it. Let the weak say that I'm strong. Let the sick say I'm healed. And that's the whole essence of Bible faith, is saying and believing with your heart. And what I'd like to do is continue with what we've been talking about on confession brings possession of the things that God has promised in His Word. I like to always share testimonies because this is real to me. I don't know if it's real to you. It's one thing to hear the message and never have it manifested in your life, but it's a different story when you hear the message and you begin to act and you see the results. And when you see the results, that just boosts your faith. I like to share a testimony of a fellow that I ministered to at work. His name was Bob. Bob was an older guy. And Bob got saved. And he wasn't saved that long. And he was my conductor. And we were going to Harrisburg one day. And this is back probably in the early 80s. I did a lot of studying on faith and healing. And I was ministering to people. I'd step out in faith and minister to them when they were sick. And he was sharing me his testimony of, you know, being born again and how the Lord impacted his life and how he was changed because he was a heavy drinker and he was a womanizer. And he got remarried because he got divorced from his first wife, got remarried and he got saved and things were turned around. So he didn't know at the time that I was saved. So he began to minister to me, to witness to me. Well, as he was witness to me, I just said, Bob, I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I'm born again. And he says, praise God. So the trip turned into a fellowship trip instead of a soul-winning trip. And he was sharing what the Lord had done in his life and what he was doing and how it changed him in different things. So as we went along, he gave me the opportunity to begin sharing things with him. So I started sharing them on the subject of Bible faith and healing. And I didn't know at the time he had issues in his body. And his wife had cancer. I didn't know this until later. But anyhow, as I was sharing the word with them, we spent a good many hours talking, at least I did, sharing. Well, we get over to Harrisburg, and we're done with our tour of duty. So he goes to bed. I go to bed. We stayed in a dormitory at this time. Aurora had a dormitory. He gets up. And I happened to see him down in the locker room. And when I seen him, his face was all swelled up. And he was ordered to go to work. He wasn't coming back with me on this trip. He was going back with another engineer. But his face was all swelled up. And he had these big hives on his face. I mean, his eyes were swelled shut. When I looked at him, I seen him in the locker room, and he was ordered to go to work. I said, Bob, what the heck's wrong with you? He said, I don't know, Dan. He says, I think it's hives. I says, I know it's hives. I mean, you're all swelled up. Your eyes are swelled shut. And he's buttoned down his shirt, and he says, look at this. And I said, yeah. I said, he says, I got to go to work. He said, I'm already ordered. I says, well, meanwhile, there's a bunch of other guys in the locker room. So I says, come on over here. So I took him into one of the side rooms we had there. So I says, remember what I was telling you coming over about the Lord being a healer? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by his stripes, you know, you're healed, Bob. You're a believer. And I'd like to pray for you. Would you let me pray for you? He says, oh, yeah, pray for me. So I laid my hands on him, and we're in this other room. And I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I curse these hives. In Jesus' name, and I command them to be plucked up and be removed and be planted in the sea. And I said, now, Bob, I believe it's done. Now, what I want you to do is begin to say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. So I started leading him in some confessions of faith. So he repeated after me, I believe by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I believe that Christ redeemed me from the curse pronounced in the law. So after we were done with that, he says, I got to go to the restaurant. Well, the restaurant was right across the street from where the dormitory was. Well, when I found out he was ordered, I figured I'm going back and lay down because I'm going to get called to go to work. So I go back into my dorm, get in bed. And it wasn't 5 minutes that I was in bed, we had this guy named Berger, and he reminded me of Sergeant Carter on Gomer Pyle. And he's the guy that woke us up. And the way he woke you up was he'd kick your bed and shine a flashlight in your face. And he'd say, Walters, you're ordered, you know. So he comes in my dorm, kicks the bed, shines a flashlight in my face. And he says, hey, Walters. I says, what? He says, you got a phone call. I says, a phone call? I says, from who? He says, I don't know. Somebody called you down there in the lobby there. He's still on the phone there. He wants to talk to you. So I said, okay, put my pants on and shirt. I go down in the lobby. I get the phone. Hello. Well, this guy's in hysterics on the other end of the phone. I mean, he's shouting and screaming. I says, who is this? Who is this? He says, this is Bob. I says, Bob who? Bob, the one you just prayed for. I said, oh, Bob. I says, I didn't recognize you. He says, Dan, they're all gone. All the swelling's gone. Everything's disappeared. I says, well, what happened? He says, I walked across the street, stepped in a restaurant, and it all disappeared. I says, praise God, Bob. Praise God. And he was ecstatic. You'd have to hear him on the phone because I couldn't calm him down. He was so excited. I says, well, that's your Jesus, and that's what he'll do for you. But anyhow, he healed him. So praise God. I just praise God for testimonies, and I praise God for the opportunity to minister to the sick. A lot of times you just got to step out in faith and minister to people. He's the healer. He said, lay hands on them. Lay hands on them. So what I like to continue to do is talk along this line about confession brings possession. Now, in Mark 11:23 is probably the scripture that all those that teach faith turn to all the time. And in my studies of faith, I find out that we do ourselves an injustice whenever we take just one account. And within the four Gospels, there's 5 accounts where Jesus talked about talking to mountains, talking to fig trees, talking to sycamore trees. All right? And within each one of them lies truths that explain the principles of faith. And when we center just on one account, we miss the other ones. So the first scripture I want you to look to is by the Apostle Paul. It's 1 Corinthians 13:2. And this is right after the great chapter 12 where he talks about all the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And within those manifestations of the Holy Ghost lies the gift of faith, gifts of healing, and workings of miracles, which are the power gifts. Which, when we come to the point where we exhaust our own faith in the things or in the promises of God, we have the arsenal of the anointing of those gifts. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:2 that, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith. Now, the Amplify says that verse, and though I have sufficient faith so that I could remove mountains and have not agape, that's love, that's translated charity there, but the word is agape, the agape love of God, I am nothing. So what Paul is making a statement here is about mountain-moving faith and having all sufficiency to move all mountains. I think sometimes even when you just stick with the gospel, you sort of miss out in the epistles what Paul's talking here. I mean, he's making mentions about mountain-moving faith. It's the phrase that Jesus used. And he's basically quoting Jesus because he received a revelation personally from the Lord. Now, what I want you to do is go to Mark 11 and verse 12, and we're going to check each one of these accounts out, and we're going to compare them one with the other, and what that's called in Scripture is parallel studies. You take one account, you take the other account, you lay it out, and you see what's said and what's not said, and see what the other writer said, and you compare. Mark 11, verse 12, verse 14 says this, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Now that's the key.
And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Jesus answered. If Jesus answered, something must have been said to him. All right, now when you read that, you might wonder, why in the world did Mark word that way? Jesus answered. What was happening is verse 12 tells you he was hungry. When he comes to the tree, he finds nothing. What's talking to him is the circumstances. There are nothing here to eat. It's like, whenever you're dealing with symptoms in your body's crying out, I hurt. I don't feel good. It's talking to you. Jesus desired something to eat. He was hungry. This is why it's worded this way. The circumstances of lack were speaking to him. And verse 14 says, and Jesus answered. Notice he answered after he's hearing this. And obviously it must have came in his mind and thought form. There's lack here. It's like your bank account's crying out to you. You ain't got enough to pay your bills. How are you going to answer it? Well, he answers it and he says unto it, a tree, which I believe the disciples probably thought he was flaky when he was doing this. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Those words. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter. That's like you saying, by his stripes I am healed. My kidneys are whole. If you're dealing with maybe kidney stones or issues along that line, or maybe you got diabetes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every time you might have to take insulin or maybe medication pills, the circumstance is talking to you. How are you going to answer it? By his stripes, I am healed. And he goes on to say, and his disciples heard it. Notice that he vocalized this out loud. It's like when I was ministering to Bob, I had Bob to vocalize his faith. Bob, what do you believe? You know, I led him in the confession of faith because he heard enough of what I was teaching him on the trip over concerning healing. And he was convinced. Especially when I told him about Jesus the same yesterday and forever. He knew that scripture and he says, Dan, you're right. And he acted and said, and received. It's key when you're ministering to people to get them confessing what God's word has to say. Because if a person comes up and you minister to them and they don't say anything, although there's a degree of action because of them coming, but what releases their faith is their words from the depths of their heart. And they begin to say. When they begin to say, last lesson, one of the scriptures I emphasize is Yahweh will deal with you according to the very words you use in his ear. Then he went on to say, today, the words that you use in my ear today, that will I do unto you or for you. Now, Jesus never did anything without hearing first what the Father said or seeing what the Father said to do. The Father created the fruit of his lips. He did this as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. He's no different than what you are when you're born again and anointed by the Holy Ghost. He was the Son of God, but he stripped himself of all of his Godhead powers. He did this as a man. I like to emphasize the Son of Man more than the Son of God. He is the Son of God. People don't struggle with that. I think one of the things they struggle with was he was the Son of Man, born of a woman. I mean, he bled like anybody else bled when he was pierced. He got tired, he got hungry, he got sleepy. You know, he did this as a man, anointed by the Spirit of God. Now, verse 20 says this, and and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Those words affected that tree from the very roots. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter. Just think of that. And that affected that tree. So how much more when you say, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, will it affect your body? Or my God supplies my every need according to his riches and glory to affect your finances. Or to say my body's strong and not weak when you feel weak. Words, the power of words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I don't believe we allow that to register and to just resonate within our heart and in our mind. Every time you begin to speak, you're realizing what's coming out of your mouth. Is it death or life? So by him speaking that way to the tree, it began from the root. And verse 21 says, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto the Lord, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. The statement that he made cursed the tree because it was in a negative connotation going forth out of his mouth. He desired fruit from it. He desired something to eat. But his words and the way they were spoken caused the thing, the life in it, to just cease. The word of God, when it's spoken, brings forth life. It brings forth resurrection power because he is the Lord God who is the resurrecting God. In other words, when you're dealing with issues in your physical body or issues in your finances and you need that resurrection power, you have to begin to speak the word. And when you speak the word, the revelation, life of the Lord is released through your words, through your faith. And as you do that, God is always conscious when you're speaking in line with his words to create the fruit of your lips. He's always conscious of it. Now, verse 22 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. There's different ways this is translated. Have the God kind of faith. One translation says this is how the God kind of faith works or operates. He's telling them this is how this thing operates. It caused Peter to marvel, and I believe personally it was the Spirit of God that brought it to his remembrance, because he's the only one that's making mention of this tree withering away as fast as it did. So you have the faith of God. The faith of God is always believed in the heart and spoken with the lips. And I said this ministering before, I think a lot of times we struggle in getting people healed because we're not operating the principle of confession. And I always use the illustration of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you get an individual filled with the Spirit, if you do not work on their mouth to get that utterance to come forth, they can be Spirit-filled and never have the manifestation of other tongues. You follow what I'm saying here? So when you get them to confess the word, what you're doing is that confession is bringing forth the healing that's already provided for them. And what happens is we fail to do that. And sometimes you have to work with people along that line. And what you're doing is you understand the principle of faith, and all you are doing is being an instructor. And this is what Jesus was doing here. He says, this is how the God kind of faith operates. Then he goes on to say in verse 23 is the one we always quote, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say,
It doesn't matter who you're ministering to. That covers it. But notice it has to be whoever shall say. It's the individual that's saying. You operate this principle on behalf of somebody else, but you got to get them to begin to say. In other words, when I cursed those hives, I was operating Mark 11:23. I got him to come into agreement with me by beginning to say that I'm healed. See, he comes under whosoever shall say. God's no respecter of persons. And I'll say this too, if you're ministering to people that are unsaved or baby Christians, they're a lot easier to get healed than people that have been in churches for years because they're not all indoctrinated with stupid stuff. It's the truth. I mean, these are things you learn when you minister to people. I mean, there's a practical side to this. It's called experience, you know, and through experience, you begin to learn some things. So Jesus is saying that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Notice what he tells this mountain to do. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, when I was ministering to Bob, I was believing that those things that I was saying to that mountain, that obstacle of hives, was going to obey me. I was believing in my heart and saying it with my mouth. Somebody said, did you war with doubt? I war with doubt all the time when I'm ministering to people. You ignore it. You recognize it, know it's of the enemy, and know that he's the one, and this right up here is called the battlefield. Yeah. It's the soulish realm. It's enmity against God. It's hostile to the things of God. And you move by what you believe in your heart. In other words, whenever you got saved, you didn't have to have that message of salvation 1,000 times preached to you. At least I didn't. The first guy that witnessed to me, I had conviction in my heart, which caused me to start reading the Bible. Then I ended up receiving Jesus. One of the things when I was younger, I didn't want to go to hell. There's two things that I prayed constantly when I was a young kid, and I was raised Roman Catholic. One, I didn't want to go to hell. Two, I didn't want to go to Vietnam. Because I did funerals. I was an altar boy. And they'd bring them back, people, you know, and we did them. And that just petrified me. A young kid killed in Vietnam, and, you know, it was going crazy by the time I got to eighth grade. Well, they quit the draft when I graduated in high school. All I had to do was register. But, man, I tell you, I prayed that all the time. I said, God, I don't want to go to Vietnam. You know, I'd hear Walter Cronkite. We had 250 soldiers killed a day in Vietnam. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. And that affected me. I wasn't saved at the time. And it's a difference when you're saved. Death petrified me. It scared me. It doesn't scare me now because I have an understanding of it. But then it did. So anyhow, getting back to Bob, I had to believe what I was saying would come to pass. So I said, in Jesus' name, I curse you. Like Jesus cursed the fig tree. Be thou removed. And got him to start to saying, and his confession called into manifestation that healing. So Jesus went on to say here that you must, he says, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Those things which he saith shall come to pass. You might not see them come to pass right away, but they shall come to pass. These things can be manifested instantly, which we call them suddenlies, or shall come to pass. I shared about my sister-in-law. It was 7 days, and that cyst finally went from the size of almost a quarter down to nothing in 7 days. Didn't go away instantly. I like to see them. I've seen them. I've seen tumors vanish.
foot that was operated on and all swelled up go, normal. You know, that, I like them suddenlies. They cause the congregation to come unglued. It takes the brakes off. And all of a sudden, everybody's coming forward to be healed for something. But I like that. So what Jesus goes on to say here, that which is a key verse, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So now let's look at Matthew's account, Matthew 21, verse 17 through verse 21. This is also dealing with the fig tree. Notice he was dealing with the fig tree and also with mountains. Two things he was specifying in that account. Verse 17 says this. This is Matthew's account of this. And he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit on thee or grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, before it says it dried up from the root, but Matthew's account says here, presently the fig tree withered away. So there was an activation as soon as Jesus released words. Now I made mention in one of our lessons about Paul writing in Philemon 6, where he says that your faith is effectual at the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. He makes the word effectual means working operative. In other words, the moment you begin to say, there is a working of your faith. And this is what Paul condenses in that statement. If you will acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ, your faith is working. It's effectual. And let me say this, to some degree. Now, I'll clarify that as we move on here to another account, which comes into the increase of faith. So every time you acknowledge, my God supplies my every need, you just release your faith to whatever degree you're at. By his stripes I'm healed, you just release your faith to the degree that's within you because you've acknowledged that truth that's in you in Christ Jesus. So there's always that release of faith. Now, each one of these scriptures begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together in understanding faith. And when you understand it as one it's ministering, then you can begin to usher people in doing it with them. They don't have to know everything. Okay, they're just cooperating with you. When I get people filled with the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you most of them, it's the first time they ever hear about it. And I take them right from the point of them not being filled to being filled and seeing the manifestation of other tongues coming forth. And I work with them. I work with them to get the utterance to come out of them. And the same diligence has to be when you're ministering to sick is to get them to say. Begin them to say. Have them say. When you don't have them say, you don't have a release of faith. You don't have anything that the Father can create. They haven't released nothing. So Matthew goes on to say here in verse 20 that presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if, it's a big key, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree,
Now notice that verse highlighted in your Bible. It's one that I quote often. Ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. Jesus is telling you, you'll be able to do this. But also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Now, this verse says, it shall be done. Now, Mark 11:23, the last verse says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This verse gives you two key phrases that I like to emphasize is, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, and the very last verse, when you say to the mountain, it shall be done. It shall be done. You have to let these verses resonate within your heart and in your mind. When I was ministering to my son for psoriasis, these were the scriptures that I would quote to the Lord when I would be speaking to him. You said, Lord, you said it, I can do what you did to the fig tree. You said here that, you know, not only shall you do unto this fig tree, but also unto this mountain. Mountains are symbolic of obstacles. Yeah. And what was standing between healing and health with my son was psoriasis. And it talked to me. It talked to me all the time. Every time he had shorts on, that's all I heard. Look at his knees. Look at his shins, his elbows. It was a constant reminder, just like Jesus when he was hungry, he answered it. And I would say, Father, I thank you that he's healed. I thank you that he's whole. I don't know how many times I'd go over there and I says, in Jesus' name, you can't stay. You're removed. You're planted in the sea. In other words, I'm just like Jesus was saying, no man's going to eat fruit of you hereafter. I'm saying, you're removed. You can't stay. Father, I thank you. I see new skin in Jesus' name. Believing that what I'm saying is coming to pass. So Mark 11:23 talks about he shall have whatsoever he saveth on that last verse, but this verse says it shall be done. Now let's go to Matthew 17:14 and examine that account. And it says here, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for often he falleth into the fire and off into the water. Now the Amplified Bible says he was an epileptic. He was having epileptic seizures. Verse 16, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, as we continue to read in verse 17, I always thought that they could not cure him because of a lack of faith. Okay, but if you go to verse 17, watch what Jesus said here. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. When he used faithless in other accounts in Scripture, like Mark 4, when he was in the hinder part of the ship, when the storm was raging and the boat was filling up and he was sleeping and the disciples were in panic, they woke him up and said, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus stood up and rebuked the storm. The first thing he said, why were you faithless? A faithless person won't do anything. All right? Now, verse 17 says here, O faithless generation. It gives you a key. I always thought they didn't have the faith to get this spirit out, but that wasn't the case. Verse 15 gives you a little, and I don't know if you've been around people that are in the mental asylum or whatever, where there's all kinds of manifestations of demonic activity and different things. I personally believed when they heard, when it says here, Lord,
have mercy on, verse 15, and on my son, for he is a lunatic, sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water. I guarantee you, when we read the other account, you'll see this. This guy told the disciples that. And when the disciples heard that, they said, that's like me saying to you, come on, we're going to go down to the asylum. We're going to cast some devils out of people that are out of their mind. And you go, oh, no thanks. I believe this is what's going on. And I believe that's the reason why Jesus says, oh, faithless generation, they didn't act. His evangelistic team failed in getting the boy free. If you're ministering to somebody and you don't have success, don't get discouraged. They sat under the best teacher. It don't get any better sitting under Jesus' ministry. They failed. All right? Verse 16, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked. That means to speak strongly to. He rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples apart and said, I personally believe they were embarrassed, because you read other accounts where Jesus anointed them. They come back rejoicing, Lord, man, even them devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus made the statement, don't rejoice in the fact that the devils are, obeying you. Rejoice in the fact that your name's in heaven, written in heaven. He gives them authority, and here they had success, but in this case they didn't. And I believe it was the circumstances talking to them from what the fathers of the son was telling them. And it paralyzed them. They wouldn't act. In verse 19 says, and the disciples say unto Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Faithlessness, unbelief, would not act. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain. Now there's that phrase again, unto this mountain. But he says something that the other two accounts didn't say. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, when we hear that verse all the time, we get caught up in the mustard seed. A mustard seed is just a small little seed that you could hardly see. And what we miss is what he's saying here is having faith as a seed. Faith operates like a seed. Now, they could have started casting that devil out of that guy by planting their seed by saying, come out of him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll say this, and if they were struggling, I believe Jesus would have just stepped in and he would have started. But because of their unbelief, he says, you were faithless. You wouldn't do nothing. You following what I'm saying here? They wouldn't act. So he's telling us because of your unbelief. And I'm convinced that they were embarrassed. And Jesus answered unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, let me say it this way, as a seed, you shall say unto this mountain. So your faith operates like a seed. And the way that it's planted is when you say it. Actually, it's with, see, the kingdom of God resides within you. The kingdom is in you. Kingdom doesn't come by observation now in this earth. It's in a believer. And you're to rule in that kingdom as a king through one Christ Jesus. What good is
have in a kingdom if you don't have a king to rule it? Well, you rule that kingdom that's within you. He's placed that kingdom within you, and faith operates like the seed. Everything comes out of this, out of your heart, is from the kingdom. And you're just operating in the kingdom principles because you understand them. And it's all about him. You didn't do nothing to orchestrate this except to receive him. So that kingdom's in you, and it functions with words, and words are seeds. So they could have started saying, in the name of Jesus, you come out of him, you foul epileptic spirit, you come out of him in Jesus' name. And I personally believe if they were to struggle, Jesus would have stepped right in. And he wouldn't have rebuked them, because they stepped out. They began to minister. He'll never rebuke you for stepping out. There's an account in scriptures where the disciples remembered somebody casting out devils, and they went to the Lord and says, Lord, this guy's doing it. Jesus says, if he's for me, he's not against me. Somebody grabbed a hold of it that wasn't even in his evangelistic team and started taking off with it. It started getting people set free. Jesus didn't rebuke him for that. I can't remember the account, but it's in there. So we're finding out here that faith works like a seed. And he says here, you shall say to the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Diabetes will obey you. You can make diabetes leave your body. You can make any affliction within your body obey you. But you have to have faith as a seed and begin to say. Amen. And let me say this, when you plant a seed, like Jesus says, believe that those things that you're saying shall come to pass is a process. The seed begins to grow after you plant it. You say it again. You plant another seed, okay? And when you say what you begin to say, it begins to water the seed that you already sowed. Because the Word of God is considered water within Scripture. And every time you say it, the Word of God is also considered light. And you begin to put light on that seed. And what begins to happen, that seed begins to produce. And it begins to produce faith to move the mountain. And that's why Paul was saying, if I have all sufficiency to move all mountains, there's a process in it. And Paul recognized that. So Jesus says here, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove. Then he says this statement, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Mark 11:23, the last verse says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Matthew's account in 21 says, it shall be done. This account says here, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Let that resonate within your heart. Sometimes our mountains seem so big, but if you understand, if you have faith as a seed, you can begin to plant the harvest for the removal of the mountain. That's why I say I've seen this, because we've ministered healing school at another church, but I noticed this, but there was a lot of people that would come that had issues in their body that always felt like they had to hear another message. Okay, if you were, let's just go back to salvation. If you kept putting the brakes on it, I got to hear more about Jesus dying for my sins. I got to hear more about Jesus dying for my sins before I act. I got to hear more about Jesus dying for my sins before I act on, you know, Romans 10:9-10. You might die. Okay? You never released your faith. So what I'm saying is you can begin to release your faith right off the beginning. You hear the message and you release it as a seed. It's working as a seed. And let this always resonate. And nothing shall be impossible unto me. Jesus said it doesn't matter what the mountain is. Like Paul says, if I have all sufficiency to move all mountains, nothing's impossible unto me.
Then he goes on to verse 21. Howbeit, now he gives you a key here, because this was an epileptic type spirit. Howbeit, this kind goeth out, but by prayer and fasting. Did you notice something? He didn't expound on that once he said that. This kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. I was reading that one day, and I heard the Spirit of God say that. He said to me, you know why I didn't expound on that? He'll always ask you questions to bring a revelation to you. Like he said to Peter, Peter, who do they say I am? Oh, you're the Christ. Okay, he'll ask you a question. I hear this question. You know why I didn't expound on that? And I said, no. I mean, it doesn't give you a whole lot there. Okay, it says, howbeit this kind goeth out by prayer and fasting. Okay. He didn't go into the area of the prayer part or the fasting part there. The fasting part, he says, the reason I didn't, it's already in the Word. Then he said, you remember what Isaiah 58 says, and that's about the fast. The fast was undo. It was to undo the works of wickedness, to undo those that are oppressed by the evil one, okay? And this is why he's saying that, and he left it there. The answer lies in the fast that's outlined in Isaiah 58. That's why you fast. Fasting enhances the anointing. Prayer and fasting enhances the yoke-destroying anointing, so when you're ministering to somebody, the power sufficient to get the person set free is there. You follow what I'm saying? So that's the purpose of the prayer and the fast. It enhances the anointing. It doesn't get God to move. God's already moved. He's given you the authority. He needs the vessel that's full of prayer so the anointing can flow in a sufficient amount of the yoke-destroying anointing. So let's go to, we still have time, Pastor? 3 minutes. Okay, we'll go real fast to Mark 9 here. Mark 9. Let me find it here. Let's see, Mark. There it is. Okay, Mark 9. This is the same account. And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you, it's still this account. I brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. Now notice within Mark's account, it calls it a dumb spirit. The Amplified says it was an epileptic dumb spirit. And wheresoever he, that's the spirit that was in this kid, taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. This is why I'm saying the disciples, they probably heard this testimony from the father and said, we ain't going to even mess with this guy or this kid. And it says, and I spake to thy disciples and they should that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him. So now that we got a manifestation of demonic power, which the other account doesn't talk about. The spirit teareth him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, now notice what Jesus questions, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Now the other account doesn't say that. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. That's the work of the adversary. He's the destroyer. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, notice he puts it back on him. This guy's crying out for compassion and mercy. If you can have compassion on us, help us. Jesus turns around and says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, the other count doesn't say that. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. So this guy's got soul meltdown because the circumstance of this epileptic seizure kid is plaguing him, talking to him constantly. Kid wants to throw himself in the fire. Then he lies there like he's dead, you know. And this thing comes and goes because the spirit was coming and going with this kid. So Jesus puts it off onto the guy. All things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 25 says, and Jesus saw the people come running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit. So we got a dumb and deaf spirit. There's just more revelation coming here. I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more. So the God kind of faith operates in casting out devils. Notice he spoke to the spirit with his words and commanded the thing to come out of the man. Then he goes on to hear, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when his disciples came to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth only by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now the verse that I want to key in on here is verse 23 real quick, and we'll close this. He condenses Mark 11:23, where he says, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. So whenever you come to the point where you see that seem like the mountain is insurmountable, just remember, all things are possible to you. If you'll begin to have faith as a seed and begin to sow to it by your words, believe it in your heart that what you're saying's come to pass, you're going to have what you say. Jesus said it shall be done for you. We got to close here because of the service, so we'll just end here. Praise God.